John's Gospel. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Good Shepherd theme recalls the moment I was working with my friend John on a small farm in Nevada. John was tending to a few sheep and asked me to assist him as he would seize a sheep, roll it back on its rump, and have me hold it or balance it from behind by the elbows, as it were, so that he could administer some large pink pills with a plastic dispenser and tidy up any ragged hooves with shears. I remember mostly the raw scent of the fields overpowering the dusty smell of lanolin, and the sheep a bit frightened in the clutches of my inexperienced hands. The sheep were happy to return to the small flock after such gentle but invasive handling. No one likes to take medicine. While the sentimental picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd, is all white and gold and comfort and gentleness, the underlying truth is far from our initial impression of bucolic harmony. But Jesus is using this image to convey his self-understanding. He's explaining his messianic status. In a brilliant sentence, one commentator says that in this short gospel passage, allegory and application merge. Jesus is speaking to people who reject him. They're unwilling to replace the centrality of the temple and the comfort of their traditions with the radical claims of an even more dynamic and exciting union and intimacy which this preacher advocates. The context of the exchange is the feast of the dedication of the temple, and the centrality of the temple and what it's assumed in Jewish life. We all have our comfortable temples, but Jesus challenges us to the adventure of a more immediate union with God in the here and now, as this is centered in his very person. In the image of the shepherd, his love for the sheep, his willingness to give his life for the sheep, we discover a religion that's more challenging and immediate than our memorized orthodoxies. Jesus would have us come fully to life and share in his love for all people and his immediate union with the Father. A sentimental depicting of Jesus as shepherd really doesn't communicate this very well. As allegory merges into the message, as the rubber hits the road, as we say, we might as well be filled with alarm. Our following of Christ must be more than just a passive, dumb submission. The passion of Christ's love for us is absolute. The Son of God gives his life for the sheep. Did you know that we are held in such high esteem? Did you think that the adventure of Jesus' love for the Father reaches out and animates our small journeys of faith and love? Far from taking passive comfort in an easy and sentimental salvation, the image of the Good Shepherd brings new energy. We're becoming involved in the very life of God. In his writing on this gospel theme, Pope Benedict is at pains to point out that the people are images of God, and they do not belong to the shepherd as if they were things. They are known by the shepherd, and their interaction with him is one of freedom and love. They belong to him because he knows them through and through, because he loves them. And if we wish, we can be involved in this union of knowing, which is a perfect reflection of the inner life of God. My friend John was a good and caring sheep herder, really a farmer. But there wasn't all that much going on between John and the sheep. You really could not say that they were even as close as pets might be. I've often noticed that goats show far more curiosity over human beings than most other farm animals. Surely this is not Christ's belonging. In our following of Jesus, he accepts our freedom to choose, our ability to know and love the good and the true, the beautiful, the holy. In loving us, this good shepherd risks our hesitant and fearful choices only so that we can arrive at union, which is not submission, but discovery. Our involvement with Jesus, our shepherd, leads us to choices which are perfectly free, our unique personal choice to know and be known by the Father, our involvement in the very being of God. If I love another human being, I also love their capacity for freedom. Countless novels and love stories may be told around this theme and our tendency toward controlling love. But our love in God knows no such boundaries except those we impose through our fear. The Good Shepherd story blossoms into our full awareness that we are known and cherished by God, created just so. And now in freedom, we make our loving response not to the God of memory, whatever our secure temples might suggest, not to the God of sentiment, but to the God of this very moment, who holds the world and its wonders in being, and who surprises us. This opportunity is given to us to share his very life with a freedom we never imagined possible. Come and share the glory of my Father. We may enter and use this feast to position ourselves to receive the fullness of God's loving regard for every person on earth. Christ the Lamb shepherds us to springs of life-giving water.